Sherlock Holmes didn't like people much, but people sure like him. Sir Arthur Conan Doyle's irascible detective continues to fascinate generation after generation as one of the most popular fictional characters ever created. Holmes is also a ripe subject for comedy, which is what he becomes in the Kid Ludwig play Baskerville, currently playing at Mono Valley Theater with an all-female cast. We spoke with director Rob Duval about the unusual character at the heart of it all.
You know, Sherlock, as a person, had a really strange and odd characterization. He would do things very off the cuff. He would make experiments. He dabbled in drugs.
Yeah.
And yet he was still this brilliant detective that everybody wanted to hire for their mysteries that they needed solved.
And yet, you know, he didn't like people very much.
He wasn't a people person. Yeah. No, he and that comes through in the play Baskerville. People that come and visit his house and sit in his chair, you can see very disdainfully he looks at them and asks them to leave pretty quickly.
Oh, because that's my chair?
It's my chair. It's my house. I'll contact you tomorrow. Don't worry.
Uh-huh.
Don't question me, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he doesn't have a lot of patience for people, I think, because he's on a different level of thinking.
So what makes him so appealing? You know, he's one of the most recurring characters in all of fiction.
I think because he's unpredictable. We don't know quite how he solves his mysteries, how he gets all of his clues. He's just kind of brilliant, and we don't quite understand his way of thinking sometimes.
We don't ever really catch up with his thought process.
Right, he's always one or two steps ahead of us, yeah, and ahead of the other characters in the books, in the play.
So how does that play out in Baskerville on the stage?
Well, in Baskerville, he sends Watson on the journey to help discover the mystery of why the Baskerville family is being killed off and who's doing the killing. And yet there's always a presence of Holmes throughout, and we're not quite sure about this mystery man that shows up and the letters that Watson writes to Sherlock. So Sherlock still stays involved with the mystery, although he might not always be present at the Baskerville estate, and yet maybe he is. So there's this quality of Holmes where we're not quite sure what he's up to next, and I think that keeps us interested.
One of the things that we're meant to believe about Holmes is that he is a master of disguise.
He is a master of disguise, and that comes through in a lot of the books and in the play as well, yeah.
He can fool even those closest to him.
Correct. Even Watson, you know, his closest confidant.
Well, that poses, for you as a director, that poses a kind of a theatrical, kind of a production challenge, how to make that work, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. One of the main challenges of this show in particular were all of the costume changes. And we go into the play thinking that, oh, well, Sherlock is Sherlock and Watson is Watson, but things aren't always what they seem.
Yeah.
And then we have three other actors who play all of the other roles. And that's part of the fun of the show is seeing how fast their costume changes are and the different characterizations they come up with.
Who are some of the other characters? This is the Baskerville family.
We have some of the Baskerville family. So it begins with Sir Charles Baskerville, and not giving anything away here, but he's killed off in the first scene. And then that starts the mystery. Dr. Mortimer comes to visit Holmes and ask for his help. We've got Henry Baskerville, the heir to the Baskerville estate, who comes from Texas in the play. And so he comes to inherit all of his money and see his lands. Other characters are his maid and butler, the Barrymores. We've got Stapleton and his sister. A bunch of different characters come out, a nurse, a doctor, a maid.
So this is the whole construct of the English country house, the staff below stairs,
yes,
the family above.
Right.
All kinds of hidden currents, usually having to do with inheriting a large sum of money.
Correct, correct. And yet a lot of the play takes place in transition between places. So a lot of traveling occurs from, you know, homes on his residence into the Baskerville estate and Merripit House. So we've got a lot of traveling in the show. They take a taxi cab. They take a trap driver comes on. And so one of the ways we decided to make that travel happen, you know, on a stage.
That was my next question.
Is a rotating turntable.
Uh-huh.
So just about every time they have to travel to the train station or from the train to the next place, we have the turntable rotating. And that becomes kind of a character in the show, where sometimes the turntable will rotate, and sometimes the characters think the turntable is supposed to rotate, and it doesn't. There's a lot of there's a lot of theatricality in the play, and the costumes and set kind of become part of it.
Certain amount of fourth wall breaking, then?
Quite a bit of fourth wall breaking and in jokes that the audience is in on when the characters talk to each other, reminding each other, and now you're supposed to be someone else. And the character will run off stage, the actor will run off stage, change costumes very quickly and come back. And the audience is usually pretty awed at that.
You know, I love shows like that because there's a kind of, it draws the audience to a kind of complicity.
Right.
In the events. Right?
Right. And we as an audience want to be involved with what's going on. We want to be in on the jokes. So when a character comes on stage late and Holmes says, "Where were you? What was taking so long?" And the actor kind of breaks the fourth wall by saying, "Oh my gosh, it's so dark backstage, you wouldn't believe it." You know, the audience reacts very vociferously at that.
You know, the whole interaction between Holmes and Watson is really interesting because Watson is meant to be a capable guy.
Right.
You know, he's not a nebbishy sidekick. He's,
correct.
You know, he's a war veteran.
Yeah.
I mean, frequently when Holmes once says, you know, "Come at once, Watson."
Right.
He says, "And bring your revolver."
Right. And bring your revolver. And that's in the play as well. Yeah. Make sure you have your revolver day and night. And yet he's a general surgeon. He's not, you know, as adept at solving mysteries as Holmes. But Holmes sends him on this caper just to, you know, maybe test him, see how he's doing. And yet he keeps an eye on him from afar.
You know, the character was supposedly based on a teacher that Conan Doyle had had in Edinburgh.
Yeah, I read that, yeah.
And who was, you know, a master of deduction. So, you know, I think what most people understand about what deduction is comes from this fictional character. Did you sort of see inside his processes in this show?
I guess, yeah.
Is there some figuring out to be done?
There's definitely some figuring out to be done. There's some figuring out by the audience to be done. And we want to stay kind of with Holmes as Holmes is figuring it out. We can never be ahead of Sherlock Holmes. But we can also enjoy his foibles when Holmes isn't quite correct or didn't see something coming and kind of, you know, he'll ashame himself, you know, for not seeing it coming sooner. We take joy in that, too, that he is human.
Oh, yeah. You know? he's always chastising himself.
Chastising, that was the word I was looking for.
Being so foolish. And now, do we have, I'm hoping Inspector Lestrade makes it.
Lestrade
nice.
Does make an appearance. And it's funny because the same actress plays Lestrade and Henry Baskerville. So to come up with the difference between, of course, Henry Baskerville from Texas, so easy to do a Texas accent and, you know, have some swagger.
Yeah.
And Lestrade, that was probably the one character we looked at the most, changing the physicality, changing the voice, making him more of a cop from the streets, vulgar language.
Yeah.
Yeah, more grounded and not quite as cerebral.
He's meant to be. He's sort of the common sense guy.
Right, yeah.
And he usually disbelieves Holmes.
Disbelieves Holmes. And yet he's useful to be on the case.
Yes, yeah.
So, yeah.
You get this feeling that Holmes has a grudging respect for him.
Right, right. There's a line in the play where Holmes says, "Let's hope that he doesn't derail the case this time."
Well, you're having a lot of fun with this show.
Oh, this show is so much fun. You know, we have only five actors playing all of these roles, and they're all women. And that kind of came about from the auditions. I had no idea going in who I would cast. And yet, after all of the auditions, we looked at each other, the production manager and assistant director, and I looked at each other and I said, "The women are so much stronger than the men auditioning. Could we have an all-female cast?" And we tentatively said yes, and I have a connection to the playwright, Ken Ludwig. So I had my friend email Ken Ludwig and ask, would it be all right to do an all-female cast of Baskerville? I know it's never been done. I did all the research on different productions, and he gave us his blessing. So we were very lucky that he came back and said, whatever works best for your show, do it.
Rob Duvall is the director of Baskerville, which runs weekends at Mono Valley Theater until this Sunday. You can learn more on The Conversation's Facebook page.